Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Liam O'Brien. Now, Liam is the Assistant Secretary of the Australian Council of Trade Unions, and we're going to talk about a couple of things, but initially, welcome to the program, Liam. How are you today?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
No good complaining. There's actual no process to complain, is there, Tess?
No, there isn't. And great to have you back on the airwaves, Liam.
Well, it's great to be here.
I am actually a member of the MEAA. Tess is not.
I'm a member of the CPSU.
Oh, well, there you go. What about you, Paul?
I'm not a member.
Oh, no, Paul's not a member, so there you go.
I've been a member of the CPSU for over 40 years, I want you to know, Macca.
You should get free membership, Tass.
I'm an associate member these days. I still pay my dues.
There you go. So, Liam, you're safe talking to us.
Excellent, comrade.
In terms of work post, you know, after the pandemic, and particularly... We're seeing that, you know, a colleague of yours, Sally McManus, and Christian Porter, and a number of business folk, you know, and also people on the, you know, the union side are getting together to talk about the industrial relations environment and the workplace post COVID-19. Can you give us your perspective on that? A lot of people think it's great. A lot of people are very concerned about it.
Well, look, I think the first thing we have to understand is how has this pandemic played out and what the situation was in terms of the world of work before the pandemic. What we knew before the pandemic was that in Australia we have very high levels of insecure work, some of the highest in the world, you know, over 25% of casual and even more above that work in what we would call non-standard forms of work. And on top of that, we had a decreasing share of wealth going to labour. So the last 6 years, we've seen some of the lowest wage increases in our history since the Second World War. And what we've seen with the pandemic is many of those inequalities have been accelerated. So we've seen, in relation to the job losses and the hours losses, is that this has disproportionately fallen on working people. So we've seen a rise in insecure work. In fact, insecure workers have been the ones that have been the first to let go and arbitrarily cut out of schemes such as JobKeeper. We've seen, when it comes to the gender inequalities, really they've been accelerated through this pandemic, with more women losing work than men. And also, again, when we think about young workers, young workers have really borne the brunt of this pandemic. So what we're saying about the future is that we can't snap back to the problems that we had in the past. We have to find a landing point post-pandemic where we can see an increase in secure jobs, where we can have mechanisms for working people to get a better share of the wealth that they helped create. So that's definitely the focus that our movement has going into these discussions. I'm not going to talk to what employers are necessarily trying to achieve out of this, or indeed what the government are. But our movement's very focused around what the core concerns were going into this pandemic, and indeed what the pandemic has shown us in terms of the fragilities of work in Australia.
Very interesting, Liam. I'm interested in where you're actually getting your support from. I mean, what are young people, what are women saying to you about the current workforce and the current workforce arrangements?
Well, what we know about the current workforce arrangements is that more people than ever are seeking secure work. Now, insecure work is a real problem in this country. As I said before, over a quarter of the workforce don't have access to don't have access to annual leave. And this was really brought to bear during the pandemic, where everybody was fearful of whether the coronavirus was going to come to Australia and rip through our communities in the same way as it has through Europe. And really, one in four workers were sitting there very, very fearful of the fact that if they get sick, there is absolutely no social support for them. With all of these public messages about staying home while sick and doing the right thing, this was a really serious risk for many insecure workers who were sitting there saying, "Now, if I get sick, I have no income." So this was really brought to bear at the start of this pandemic, and that's why our movement called the Universal Paid Pandemic Leave, so that every worker could do the right thing in terms of isolating themselves if they had the symptoms similar to that of coronavirus and go and get tested. That has exposed a real weakness in our economy, and we are very fortunate that actually that the pandemic didn't arrive in Australia like it did in other countries, but it didn't rip through workplaces like it has in other countries, because in Australia we are very vulnerable to this because so many workers just do not have access to paid sick leave. And we're really saying, and lots of workers are saying this as well, that this is not acceptable. In a country as wealthy as Australia, we should not be putting, you know, the lowest paid, insecure workers, predominantly female and young, in these situations where potentially they're going to be exposed to whether it be coronavirus or other social issues.
Liam, who cares, though? Who's interested in this topic? I mean, apart from the ACTU, I don't see anybody else talking about this.
Well, actually, that's not true, Taz. I think we see a lot of people reflecting on how work has changed through this pandemic. And you know, whether it be people that are working from home that are anxious about going back to workplace and how safe they are. As an ACTU official, one of my responsibilities is also around occupational health and safety. And we have just seen huge interest in working people around the safety mechanisms that are put in place in their workplaces to keep them safe. So I think there are lots of people that are questioning the very nature of work. You know, we've talked a lot over the last few weeks about the number of people that are currently working from home and how that's going to change into the future as more and more workers have essentially proven to their employers that they can be as productive in work from home arrangements, that they would like to continue on potentially with post-pandemic. We need to make sure that there are appropriate industrial and health and safety arrangements there to ensure that we can support those into the future. So I think there is a big rethink on what the world of work looks like. There is a general concern around the fact that leading into this pandemic, things weren't calibrated in favour of working people, and we really need to take stock and work out how we can change the system and make it fairer for more people.
Look, I think when I agree with you, Liam, and you know, Tass and I both belong to the organisations that represent our interests, even though we're actually, in my case, I'm a volunteer. But I support that organisation because it's about wages and conditions for those who do earn their income in this industry. One of the challenges is that union membership, I don't know if it's at an historical low, but it's certainly at a level that, you know, I wonder how much notice government and employers, particularly employers that aren't in heavily unionised, that don't have unionised workplaces, how do you get them to actually listen to you?
Well, I think to the point about, you know, the way in which unions are operating in the current sector is that we know the current industrial relations framework makes it very hard for workers to organise into unions and to strike a fair deal. That is part of the problem and the structural issues that we need to address in the future system. Too many workers are shut out of bargaining. Take the entire community sector, where essentially their funding is delivered by government, their wages are largely set by them, but yet they cannot bargain with government collectively to do that. You know, take the media, entertainment and arts sector, where you've got so much fragmented employment, which makes it very hard for workers in those industries to organise across industry. So these are some of the really structural and, quite frankly, unique situations to Australia. These are not things that we see in other parts of the world, in Europe, in Scandinavia, where we do allow cross-sector bargaining, where we allow people to organise across multiple employers. And these are some of the general issues that we think need to be addressed in a future system.
Liam,
clearly our system is not structured.
Liam, one of the comments that's been made to us on this show by one of our commentators is that the most affected industries are those that are involved thinking, the thinking industries, so the arts, journalism, the ABC, and of course universities and research have all been very deeply affected as a result of this pandemic, and not getting the sort of support that they would expect from government. But I'd like to turn the conversation to your reflections on the federal government's desire to actually engage with unions and business to try to create a new normal that's coming out of this pandemic. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, look, I think the interesting thing out of the current situation we've got is not necessarily that unions are engaging in a process with the government about this, but that the government, for the first time, in particular this Liberal government, for the first time probably in a generation, has turned to unions to open a dialogue about this. What we saw in the early part of the pandemic was a high level of cooperation between unions, business and government to make sure that we did, you know, make the necessary changes to keep people in work, where industry and unions went to government with joint plans around things like JobKeeper, where we engaged in those discussions. And I think what the pandemic has highlighted is that the space for cooperation is pretty large, and we shouldn't lose sight of that as we move forward. So that's why our approach is very much on a collaborative basis, that we want to see, you know, us grow the pie. We want to see working people get a fairer share of the wealth that they help create. And that's really, I think, something that the government should be answering to, why they have suddenly turned to unions in this time of crisis. Our position has always been that we work with governments to ensure the best deal for working people.
It's got to be a good thing though, Liam, surely, that government's actually reached out to actually have a conversation with you about what the future might look like.
And indeed how we navigate through this pandemic. Mm. I mean, what this pandemic really showed, and it's a downturn unlike any other downturn we've had. It was a deliberate shutdown of industries to protect public health. Yes. And that required a high level of coordination, in particular in highly unionised sectors like health, education. It required a high level of collaboration. Now, the government, I think, you know, recognised that they weren't going to be able to engage in the necessary structural reforms through this process unless they engage with organised labour. The challenge will be, as we move forward, in particular as we start to get into a recovery phase, how we progress. And I think what's really front of mind about this, we think about what this pandemic has done. We have shut down industry. Essentially, in economic speak, it is in a demand-side shutdown. We have to make sure that as we come out of this, that we don't stifle demand, and that demand is largely nurtured by working people having enough income to go out there and spend with confidence. If this industrial relations process leads to the cutting of wages, we will deepen and lengthen this recession. We have to make sure that working people get a fairer share of the nation's wealth, because actually it's working people who spend every cent they get.
Yes.
And if we just think about, you know, this week we've got the national wage case likely to be handed down. It's so important that our lowest paid workers get a reasonable wage increase, because it's them that's going to stimulate our economy going forward.
What is the minimum adult wage now, Liam?
The adult wage is about $38,000 a year, which is, you know, which is essentially below the poverty line. If we look at international standards around poverty, we are still about $5,000 a year below the poverty line for a full-time adult on minimum wage. And for a country as wealthy as Australia, that is unacceptable. We should be ensuring that everyone in full-time work is able to live out of poverty.
So it's essentially it's around the amount that JobKeeper is paying currently.
It is just slightly under JobKeeper.
Right.
Well, I'm speechless. I didn't realise it was quite so low, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah. And there are people to us that live on a lot less than
that. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. And, you know, for all of those who don't work the full 38 hours, it is significantly less. And, you know, we're about to head into a period. Childcare is about to now be something that we have to, that families will have to now find the income to do it. And that's going to put even more pressure on family budgets.
Liam, thank you for coming onto the airwaves this morning. Great to have you back.
And we look forward to yourself and Sally, Sally McManus, coming in for a chat. Very keen to have you both in here. They're important issues.
Well, when Daniel Andrews permits it, I'm sure both of us will be more than willing to come on in.
Thanks. We'll leave that in your lap to organise. That'll be great.
All the best, Liam. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.